The great feast that we celebrate today goes back to very ancient times and has been celebrated since the 5th century. Originally, the origin of this feast was the dedication of the ancient basilica dedicated to St. Michael on Mount Gargano in Italy. But certainly many, many churches have been dedicated to this great angel all throughout Christendom. Constantine himself built a great church to St. Michael right outside Constantinople, and many people were miraculously cured through the intercession of St. Michael in that church. There were originally 4 churches dedicated to St. Michael in that great city, but over the years, the emperors built more and more of them until eventually there were 15 churches dedicated to St. Michael in Constantinople, and he has always been a very popular and beloved saint. Now, even though St. Michael is specifically mentioned in the name of the feast today, it's clear from the prayers of the church that we celebrate not only St. Michael himself, but all of the holy angels on this feast as well. On this great feast, we should thank God for the glory that the angels enjoy and think about their great happiness. And we should also thank God for giving us these powerful beings to help us save our souls. And we should also ask God to help us follow His will as perfectly as the angels themselves do. And we should look at their example in the way that they serve God. And lastly, we should ask the angels for their intercession. Now, certainly we don't adore the angels as if they were God, because pure adoration can only be given to God Himself. But certainly, we honor the angels as the messengers of God. Any honor we give to somebody's representative is given to that person that they represent. So it makes perfect sense for us to venerate and honor the angels. And we see the holy people in Scripture doing this when angels would appear to them with some message from God. For example, when the 3 angels appeared to Abraham, he prostrated himself on the ground before them. And the prophet Daniel also prostrated before an angel that appeared to him at the Tigris River. And God explicitly commanded the Israelites to fear and respect the angel that brought them to the promised land and appeared as a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud during the day. We have to respect the angels, first of all, because their nature is vastly superior to ours. They are pure spirits. They don't have a body or any other physical or mental weaknesses that we have. Their mind and will are unimaginably more advanced than ours, and they are filled with grace and glory. They are powerful and glorious to a degree that is proportionate to their nature also. Even the lowest angel in heaven is unimaginably more intelligent than all human beings combined. Scripture says that their nature is superior to that of man. Although, of course, some particular saint may well enjoy a greater happiness than the angels, and certainly Our Lady is a human being, but her glory and happiness are far above that of any of the angels. But none of the angels can claim that God ever assumed their angelic nature, which we human beings can say, because the Son of God became human, but He never became an angel. But we absolutely owe honor and love to the angels because of their holiness and the fact that they are blessed in heaven. One thing about the angels that is particularly pleasing to us is that they are constantly perfect, and they do God's will in a perfect manner. Their innocence and holiness have never been stained with even the slightest sin, and their love was never given to creatures or to themselves in even the slightest degree. All of their love has ever been only for God, and they devote their entire being, all their faculties, all of their energy, and all their intelligence and power. They use these things constantly for God's will and for his glory. So if we are zealous for the love of God, and we want to see his will done, then it should be encouraging to us to think about these mighty spirits in heaven who belong completely to God. Even here on earth, people that serve God, even better than anyone else, are still not perfect. And even the saints had small failings, or didn't use all the graces that they received 100%. But the angels are perfectly holy, and they always do everything for God 100%. They are constantly consumed by the beatific vision and the contemplation of God's infinite perfection. They are always swallowed up in the ocean of God's love. So that scripture tells us that they are always saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts." They praise God incessantly. It says in the Apocalypse that the angels never stop day or night praising God, who is and who was and who is to come. They are constantly burning with the most powerful love of God and zeal for his glory. They are filled with joy at the contemplation of God and filled with love of him. In the Psalms, King David couldn't think of anyone else to praise God in a worthy manner except the angels. And so he prays in the Psalms. He says, "Bless the Lord, all you his angels, you that are mighty in strength and execute his word. Hearken to the voice of his orders. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts and you ministers that do his will." And when we think about the incredible love and adoration of the angels, we should compare our own poor performance with theirs and ask the holy angels to give us a similar overpowering and disinterested love for God and zeal for him. We should unite our prayers with those of the angels and think about their incessant and constant adoration and prayer and try to imitate that as well as we can. But as high as the angels are in the order of creation and in the order of sanctity, we still have a certain connection and similarity with them also. Our souls are spiritual and immortal, just like theirs. And if we are in sanctifying grace, we are the heirs of heaven as well. They are already there, but pray God, we are on our way to that same place. If we make it to heaven, the angels will receive greater joy and blessedness from being there with us. And we are all called to fill the thrones that were prepared for the angels, but which were lost by the demons. And scripture refers to both angels and men as the sons of God. The angels are certainly part of the communion of saints, as we are. And we have a holy partnership with them. And together we both cooperate for the glory of God, mainly by the angels assisting us in our good works and protecting us from the demons and praying to God on our behalf. We certainly owe love and veneration to the angels for everything that they do for us. But even more than all of this, God often uses the ministry of the angels to help us or his church, or to help the world in some way. Of course, God doesn't need any help from anyone to do anything. But out of his infinite goodness, he very often uses the higher spirits of his creation to help the lower parts of the created world, such as us and the material world. And the holy angels are zealous to do whatever God tells them to do. But we see countless interventions by the angels at God's command. How many occasions do we read in Scripture of Abraham and Jacob and Moses and so many other patriarchs and prophets receiving visions from these holy spirits? And the angels brought them so many favors from God and gave them so much help on so many different occasions. It would take all day to quote even a few of the visions of angels in Scripture. But we can think about the angels that saved Lot from the destruction of Sodom and saved Daniel from in the lion's den. An angel appeared to St. Peter in the New Testament when he was in prison and led him out of prison and freed him from his chains. God used an angel to show St. John the future in the vision that he had in the Apocalypse. The angels give many messages to the prophet King David. In fact, one of the most descriptive statements about the angels is in the book of Daniel, where Daniel says that he saw thousands and thousands of angels standing before the throne of God. And he says 10,000 times 100,000 angels ministered to God. He saw this. Of course, those numbers are symbolic and not literal, but it certainly means that a vast, vast number that was more than he could even comprehend stand before the throne of God. That is how many angels there are, more than we can even grasp. The angels protected the Jews when they got to the promised land. And the apostle St. Jude mentions in his epistle a mysterious event in which St. Michael had a conflict with the devil about where the body of Moses was going to be buried. And St. Michael did not curse the devil, but only commanded him peacefully and said, "The Lord commands thee." And in the Apocalypse again, St. John talks about St. Michael and the good angels driving the devils out of heaven after they sinned. This shows the great zeal of the angels for the holiness of God's house and their hatred of sin. Angels carried the soul of Lazarus to heaven when he died. And our Lord said that when he comes at the end of the world, he will come on the clouds of heaven with all of the hosts of the angels, who will bring all mankind to the place of final judgment. And God promises the help and service of the angels for everyone that serves him. And we can read in the book of Tobias that the angel Raphael appeared to Tobias as a fellow traveler on the road, and he kept him safe all the way to a foreign land and all the way back, and he protected him from every danger. And there was another mysterious event in which an angel wrestled with the patriarch Jacob all night long and finally blessed him afterwards. And an angel carried the prophet Habakkuk by his hair all the way to Babylon so he could carry food to the prophet Daniel when he was in the lion's den. So it is a dogma of our faith that the good angels intercede with God for us, and that we should pray to them and ask them for their help. There are some interesting examples in Scripture also of angels praying on our behalf, many mentions of this. The prophet Daniel was told in a vision that the guardian angel of the empire of Persia prayed for that country. So every country has its own guardian angel, even a pagan place like the ancient Persian Empire. And it says that Saint Michael protected the Jews as well, and the angel Gabriel told Daniel that he had prayed for 21 days that the Jews would be released from captivity in Persia, and that he and St. Michael prayed for this intention together. And St. Gabriel promised prayers again. He told Daniel that St. Michael, the great prince, would rise up and stand for the children of the people. And he was talking there about the War of the Maccabees when the Jews fought to protect their holy religion. They were protected by the intercession of St. Michael. There's also a mysterious passage in the minor prophet, Zacharias, that after 70 years of captivity, one day he saw an angel in the shape of a man, who was probably Saint Michael, and this angel said to Zacharias, he said, "We have walked through the earth, and behold, all the earth is inhabited and is at rest." And the angel prayed to God and asked God how long it would be until God would have mercy on Jerusalem, because it had been 70 years that the Jews had been in captivity. And God answered the prayer of St. Michael and told him that he would return to Jerusalem with mercy and that his house would be built in it. This was fulfilled in the building of the Second Temple of Jerusalem. The Church has always invoked the holy angels. In fact, the church prays in the Mass after the consecration. It says, "Let our sacrifice be carried by the hands of the holy angel to the altar on high, into the sight of God's divine majesty." We do not know exactly which angel fulfills this august function, but some theologians believe it is either maybe the guardian angel of the priest celebrating the Mass, or it might be Saint Michael himself, who is the angelic protector of the Catholic Church. In fact, Saint John says in the Apocalypse that he saw an angel come and stand before the altar in heaven with a golden thurible, and that angel was given much incense, so he could offer the prayers of the saints on the altar that is before the throne of God in heaven. And Saint John says that the smoke of the incense of the prayers of all the faithful on earth ascended before God from the thurible of this angel. This is a beautiful symbol of our own prayers and what the angels do for us. This is also a reminder to us to think about what we are doing when we are praying. We are not just saying empty words, but Scripture tells us that there is an angel in heaven that is burning our prayers like incense so that it will rise before the altar in front of God in heaven. What a powerful image that is. If we want to live forever with the holy angels, we have to live a life here on earth that is like the life of the angels in heaven. We have to spend as much time as we can adoring God in prayer and contemplation and have a contempt of the world and make God the focus of our lives as he is the focus of the angels. We have to submit our will to his will in all things and obey his law even in the smallest matters. We have to have the same peace and constancy as the angels have, and not be controlled by our passions or emotions, which the angels don't have. We have to practice the virtue of purity, which the angels do to a perfect degree. And above all, we have to be as free of sin as they are before we can enter heaven. No one can be admitted to the company of these spotless spirits who has any spot on his soul. All our self-love and inordinate passion and attachments have to be cleansed from our soul before we can enter heaven. This is an enormous task, but we have to spend our entire lives working on it and trusting in God and asking for the intercession and the help of his holy angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.